After the disciples took the body of Jesus from the arms of the Blessed Virgin, a procession to the Holy Sepulchre began. It was indeed the most simple, but the most sacred and sublime funeral procession that had ever occurred or would ever occur till the end of time. Accompanied by a host of angels, the body being carried to the grave was the body of the Son of God made man. The sorrowful mother walked behind the funeral bier. The pallbearers were Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and their servants. Of the clergy, according to the Gospels, there was but one present, St. John, the beloved apostle. But there is an ancient tradition, my dear people, mentioned by St. Anselm, that says that Peter and James, the brother of John, came to Calvary towards the evening and accompanied the procession to the tomb. Peter had grieved over his denial, and both apostles had repented of their cowardice and abandonment. Like John, they too found consolation and strength in the presence of the Holy Mother. Thus was the sacred body of Christ carried to the sepulchre. Now, the sepulchre was only about 45 yards from the place of his crucifixion. It was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. When they arrived, they proceeded to hastily prepare the body of Christ in the outer chamber. Nicodemus had brought about 100 pounds of spices. By this we mean a mixture of myrrh and certain aloes. Joseph of Arimathea had brought the white linen cloth that would cover our Lord's body. Today we know this very cloth to be the Shroud of Turin. It is thus a most ancient and venerable relic. For upon it, as you know, my dear people, our blessed Lord and Savior left the impression of his sacred body. And he did this to encourage the weak. He did this to console the pious. And he did this to confound the skeptics. But because there was so little time, the preparation of the body could not be carried out exactly according to the manner of Jewish burial. The white linen cloth, the shroud, was thus laid out upon the stone slab in the inner chamber of the tomb. Our Lord's sacred body was placed on it. They covered his body with the burial spices, and then the long shroud was pulled over the front and top of the sacred body. The women, St. Mary Magdalene, Mary of Cleophas, and Salome, who had faithfully stood by Our Lady beneath the cross, had agreed among themselves that they were going to return to the sepulchre on Sunday morning. That is, the morning after the Sabbath. And they were going to supply what was wanting as regards a proper burial. And this they would do because they loved Christ so much. Saint Mary Magdalene loved Christ so much that on two occasions she had poured ointment over him. In one occasion she had washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. She would see to it, she would lead the others to the tomb so that Jesus would be properly buried. But the Blessed Virgin Mary, who loved him more than anyone, she was not going to return with these good women to the tomb. Because unlike them, she knew by faith that the sepulchre would be empty because he would be risen. Bishop Kelly once said that Our Lady is the only one who never lost her faith. All the others lost their faith, but she did not. On that first Good Friday, such was the funeral and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who had been born in a cold, dark cave was now buried in a cold, dark tomb. According to certain traditions, the nails and the crown of thorns were also placed in the sepulchre. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says that when the burial was complete, the disciples then approached the Blessed Virgin, who was weeping as she looked upon the body of her son, wrapped in the linen cloth. They then said to her, "Now, O Lady, forgive us, for we must close the sepulchre." The sun was setting, the Passover was soon to begin. The stone had to be closed before. But with St. John and St. Mary Magdalene, Our Lady very calmly withdrew from the tomb, followed by the others. A great circular stone was then rolled into the groove at the mouth of the tomb. And as St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, the suffering of the Virgin Mother was now complete. And alas, her heart was again pierced. For the body of her divine Son was in the tomb, but the sword of sorrow was in her soul. And of this sword, she said to St. Bridget, "How I would have gladly buried myself alive with my son, had such been his will. I can truly say that at the burial of my son, one tomb contained, as it were, two hearts." But as they made their way back to the city, to the house where Our Lady was staying with the other holy women, St. Bernard says that the sight of the sorrowful mother weeping moved many to tears. Wherever she passed, all who met her wept. But understand, my dear friends, Our Lady wept, but she did not wail, as is sometimes portrayed. Despite the great and heavy sorrow in her heart, there was a calmness and peace of her union with God's will. Just as throughout his entire passion, our divine Savior was calm and at peace in the midst of the most terrible sufferings and pains and greatest injustices ever experienced in this world, So she too was calm, though her heart was heavy with sorrow beyond description. Many people don't realize that from when the moment our Lord's passion commenced, when he had been arrested, when he had been led before the chief priests, while all others were in a state of anger and passion, fear and impatience, he alone was calm in the midst of them all. And so would Our Lady. She too would have that calmness and peace in her heart. Oh, as I say, it had been pierced through by such swords of sorrow. A certain priest once said that the sight of Mary at the foot of the cross makes the lesson of the cross less hard. Makes the lesson of the cross, he said, less bitter. He says her maternal example encourages us to suffer and make the road to Calvary easier. Let us go then, he concludes. Let us go with Mary to join Jesus on Calvary. All of us, no matter what our state in life, whether we are called to follow Christ in the priesthood, whether we are called to follow Christ in the religious state as brothers or sisters, whether we are called to follow Christ in the married state or the single state, we are all called to join him at Calvary according to our state in life. We must all then, as he said, take up our cross and follow him. And our cross, my dear friends, is the duties of our state in life. Our cross is to endure temptations that arise in the course of our life. Our cross is the various circumstances of life, the difficulties that arise, the disappointments we are often presented with. Our cross is to suffer bodily pain and the stresses of life. Our cross is to bear up under the trials and tribulations that arise and will arise in the course of our lives, and even to suffer persecution in some way. All of us are called to take up our cross and join Jesus on Calvary. But in faithfully and patiently striving to carry our cross for the love of Christ, to join him on Calvary, it is less bitter, it is less hard, it is far less difficult if we carry it with the sorrowful mother. How then at every pain, how then in every temptation, every suffering, every sorrow, we must at once turn our thoughts to Mary. How we must at such moments calmly think of her. When we are faced with temptations of whatever kind, when difficulties and contradictions arise, when we must suffer something, We must instantly, as it were, turn to Mary. How often we turn to ourselves. We turn to ourselves, and when we turn to ourselves, left to ourselves by nature, we are prone to complain. But if we turn to Mary beneath the cross with confidence and commend all to her, and go, as it were, with her to Calvary to join Jesus, it is less bitter. It is less hard. It is less difficult. She was faithful to Christ till the end, and she will help us to be faithful to him till the end. May we then, like St. John and the holy women who stood on Calvary from the beginning till the end, and this they did only because they were with her. May we be like them and be with her. May the Mother of Jesus, who is the Mother of Sorrows and who is our Mother, may she be ever with us on our journey to Calvary and hence our journey to heaven.